Oh my God. It's our first episode.
This is
so exciting. Okay, welcome to The Secret Life of Sommeliers. I am one of your hosts, Lucrezio.
And I am Sage to me.
Sagerella.
Yes.
Sagerella. And we're just going to get right into it. I mean, we are opening a bottle of champagne. This is, I don't speak French, but Marc Cabras, Premier Cru, Marue Sure. But yeah, I just thought, let's, you know, drink something special for a toast to our very first episode.
But maybe in the spirit of being a little bit sommelier, we could talk about why champagne is champagne.
And that's a bullet point.
That is one of our podcast topics.
Okay, so pet peeve, not all sparkling wine is Prosecco. You guys.
Okay, it's beyond a pet peeve for me. Like, it actually boils my blood when people call Prosecco champagne.
Yeah, so Prosecco and champagne are regional places. Okay, and champagne comes from Champagne, France. Prosecco comes from Italy, northeast corner near Venice. And yeah, that's it. There's no such thing as American champagne. There's no such thing. Well, actually, technically, there is.
I was going to say caveat. The thing that bothers me more isn't the regional thing. It's the fact that the method of creating it is so different for Prosecco and champagne. And so it makes it taste way different. And there's a reason that champagne is so much more expensive. It's because it's like a way more labor-intensive process to make. But you can get like champagne method sparkling wine from the United States.
Yeah. From the United States, cava from Spain is another traditional method, method de champenois beverage, but no, champagne was the OG, the first to do it.
Yeah.
So
anyway, don't use those terms interchangeably. Sparkling wine is sparkling wine, champagne is champagne.
Mm-hmm.
Now we can all be friends.
Did you know that apparently Donald Trump is signing some sort of executive order to say that some sparkling wines from America can be called champagne?
No,
like, I'm dead serious.
I'm just saying that's stupid.
I know. Well, my mom said it to me on Instagram, and she was like, France is going to be pissed.
So
like,
it must be true.
Yeah. Well, I mean, she said the comment section was really good, so.
Okay, well.
On that post specifically. Salud. Mm.
Delicious. Mm. Tastes like not Prosecco.
There you go.
Okay, let's get into our topics.
Where do you want to start today?
I think you were saying you wanted to start with this note that I made that just says, I hate when other people have joy and I don't.
Well, I think we wrote this down. We were literally in a dive bar when we were making this list.
Yeah.
And I think we saw people like making out in front of us. And then we were like, wow, I hate this.
Yeah.
That I hate that. This isn't me right now.
It's like trigger warning joy.
Yeah. I think that's what we were referring to.
Yeah. Not, so really, maybe we just hate PDA.
We hate PDA because we're not involved in it. I don't think I would hate PDA if there was a man hitting up on me at any bar. Do you know what I mean?
Really? You don't think it'd make you... PDA makes me uncomfortable even if I'm involved.
I don't think it would make me that uncomfortable. I mean, like, if we're packed like sardines in a fucking dive bar, yeah, don't, like... make out with me right now, but if we're like on a patio, it's like whatever.
Okay, yeah, I guess I could see that, but I mean, I think the sentiment still applies. Like, I mean, I'm trying to become more enlightened and be happy for other people's joy, but sometimes, like, I have a little bit going with some friends that will just be like trigger warning joy before we talk about anything, or they'll just be like, Sage, trigger warning joy, but.
This cool thing happened to me, so don't be upset. No.
Prepare yourself.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like we're just in, both of us are in our era, our spiritual. New spiritual awakenings. And, you know, just trying to find what joy looks like for ourselves. I feel like it just sucks because I feel like we're both slightly, maybe not slightly, maybe... I need another adjective. It's a bit more, or an adverb. It's a bit more all-encompassing of our patience.
We're impatient.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah.
We are. And it takes time, unfortunately,
for joy to grow.
Things to come to fruition. Yeah.
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 Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that was depressing. Let's move on.
Okay. How about moving on to getting blacked out and getting a girl pregnant as a gay? Is it possible?
You're the one that said you knew somebody that did that.
I've heard. Yes, I have heard. And actually, I was talking to one of my new coworkers the other day. She has a friend. She claims that he's like gay. And he still sleeps with a woman. He's just like, it's a vagina. Like, whatever.
I can't explain men. I can't even explain gay men.
No.
Apparently.
No, that's like a whole other... It's literally a whole other Pandora's box when it comes to talking about just men in general.
I mean, I struggle dating as a straight woman. I cannot imagine dating as a gay man because, like, for me, like, half the party is men, right? Mm-hmm. And so it sucks. But for gay men, it's like both parties are male. So it just makes it so much more difficult.
So it's like suck on suck. Yeah.
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 That wasn't a dig at you.
No, I didn't take it that way.
Okay,
but
good.
My experience as a gay man in the dating scene, there isn't an experience. I haven't really had anything. I mean, on the apps, we've talked about this ad nauseum, but I mean, biggest thing in gay world is mask for mask, and femboys are seen as inferior to masculine gay men.
It's weird that there is even like categories to me.
Oh yeah.
Shouldn't y'all just like get to know each other and see if you like each other? No?
I don't think they want to.
This is the problem with it being two males.
Well, yes. And then I also think too that most gay men have quite a bit of trauma, you know?
Trauma,
as they grow up, that kind of leads to just
like over promiscuity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just because, that's sad. You know, I mean, at least I thought that I was just ignoring, instead of putting all my energy into creating a version of myself that I loved and wanted to present to the world, I could have just ignored that completely and just slept around. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm really glad you didn't.
Thank you. I'm glad I didn't either, because I don't think I'd be aware I am at today had I not done that. And plus it's just annoying too to like be a straight man's sexual awakening, right? And it's like, no, like I didn't do all this work just to, you know, be your experiment.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that just doesn't, it just like, that gives me the ick. I can't do that.
Personally, I have been saying a lot lately that I wish I could go to conversion camp to become a lesbian. Because
I don't think they have those.
They definitely don't.
I think it's the other way.
And I also don't think that it works either way.
Yeah, no.
But I wish I could just become a lesbian. But honestly, lesbians have their issues too, because then you have two overly emotional people trying to make it work. Like the U-Haul lesbians, like they're mm-hmm. getting married after like a month. Like mm-hmm. that's not good either.
Mm-hmm. At least like from the other side looking in, I mean, not to say that lesbians don't have problems, but like it seems as if they have a lot less though. Because I feel like lesbians most of the time are more well-adjusted than gay men emotionally.
I agree.
I mean, yeah, there could be like over-emotional like periods or times, but I don't think that that's the end all be all or like the entire relationship.
Well, and I think that women are just better at like being friends generally. Dare I say empathy?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, because it's like, okay, for lesbians, they just make friends, like girlfriends, and then some of them end up being romantic. And like, that's from my observation of like people in my life, that's how it ends up going. Hmm. But yeah. All right. Okay. Let's use that as my segue into, like, I think that women, straight women, need to boycott dating apps. I don't think this applies to gay people because I understand why they would need a dating app because, like, it's, I mean, I guess you go to gay bars, but it's harder, like, to find people out in the world. Like, and you don't want to have to, like, break down that barrier. Whatever, I get it. Dating apps for straight people, ruining society. Because, I mean, like, have you ever, ladies, talk to your guy friends about how they use dating apps? Disgusting behavior. They'll match with anyone, you know, and for them, they're, like, looking through this catalog of options. They think that those are all valid options, like, to date, to sleep with, to be in a relationship with. They're not. Because women don't really take dating apps seriously. Like, if I, like, look at my around with my friends, like, we'll, like, play with it, you know, like, message a few guys for, like, validation or literally for fun, like, put it up on the TV with Apple Play, like, whatever, and then never talk to them again. So they're not really options, but men believe that they are, you know, and then they won't pay attention to the women that are right in front of them because they think that there's this whole book of options when there's actually not. But, I mean, I could go on and on forever about how it's literally, like, tearing apart the fabric of society and the way that the world works, the way that people connect with each other.
Have you ever researched, like, the science of the algorithm that goes behind dating apps?
I have, like, a little bit, but not enough to really, like, speak on it.
So, like, I remember I watched one video on YouTube about Tinder and how, like, men don't get nearly as many matches as women do.
It's probably just because men are, I wonder why that is. I actually don't know.
Like, you know, like, so the experiment was they put one profile on that was like a really, really, she was the supermodel ready. Like, literally, like,
beautiful,
like,
woman.
The belle of the ball, right? And then they also got like a really, really attractive man, right? Or a fake profile. And like the woman, the female profile. I also don't like saying female because it's like females. You know what I mean? Like, I don't
know.
Yeah,
yeah. But like guys who call, like, women females.
Yeah, literally, it's too much. But no, like the woman's profile, she was just getting so many guys were just swiping right on her, and she literally could match with whoever she wanted to. But on the flip side, the men's profile didn't get nearly as many likes on his end, you know, and when they would swipe right on a bunch of profiles, like, it was maybe like 1 out of 10 he was getting a match with.
That reminds me of a conversation I had, like, literally years ago with a guy friend. Oh my gosh, Nolan, I haven't seen him since I left Oregon, but
Hi, Nolan. If
you're watching, you were super cool, we should talk. Anyway, he was telling me, we were talking about dating apps and how I was, like, opposed to them. And he was like, why? And I was like, well, I just, like, I mean, this was before I had, like, my more profound, like, it's ruining society. I was just like, I don't like them because it feels too easy and it's just, like, not fun. Like, I can go on and get a million matches. I don't take it seriously.
It's ingenuine.
It's disingenuine, basically. And he was like, that's interesting you say that because I feel like I don't like them because it's too hard. And he was like, he was a good looking guy, like business owner, all that. But yeah, he was like, yeah, I don't really get that many matches. Like, I've had way more luck in person. So yeah, that was interesting. I haven't thought about him in so long.
Well, I'm glad you thought about him today because it kind of, what's the word? It
gave us some perspective.
Yeah. But it also was like, it backed up what I was saying about like, men having a hard time finding matches. But, like, I'm sure there are men out there that get plenty of matches and, like, don't feel, you know, what we're talking about. But, apparently that's, like, the rule of thumb. And I don't really remember everything that video said, like, all the facts and shit. But, yeah, it was really interesting. And, when I was on dating apps, it wasn't tea. Like, I wasn't really getting very many matches. And then and then, like, on Grindr, I don't even want to talk about Grindr. Like, it's, like, the worst
talk
app
about
in history.
It.
No, like, well, I've told you before. Remember when it was mostly just, like, older guys that would message me, and their first message to me would be, like, oh, are you FTM or MTF? Because based off of my effeminate features, they just assumed that I was trans either way. And, I mean, like, no shade to transgender individuals. That's fine. No shade to transgender individuals. I mean, this is a safe space, LGBTQIA+++, safe space. But
you're not.
But I'm not. No, I am just a gay man assigned male at birth. And if I was getting fetishized, imagine like actual transgender individuals and like all the shit that they receive like on a daily basis. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And it's just like, that's terrible. But I just want to go back to the fact that like dating apps make it so easy to do that. Like it's, are you going to approach, like Jacob's probably not going to get approached at a bar by an older man and ask that question, because think about how like you have to have like balls of steel to do that, right? But it's so easy to do over a computer screen or a phone screen. And basically dating apps are just causing a major shift in the way that humans interact with each other. Yeah. And I mean, social media obviously as a whole, but I don't think social media is not going anywhere. Dating apps probably aren't either, but
yeah,
I think that the dating apps are arguably worse than just like Instagram.
Yeah. Moral of the story, men, you have no balls, and you know, just ask people on a date. Rejection's good for the soul.
Just ask people out.
Makes you better. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's fine.
Yeah. And, you know, instead of getting 1 out of 10 swipes, you get a match. If you ask people out in person, maybe like 1 out of 5.
Yeah, I think your odds are way better in person. Way better. Yes. I've gone on like 2 Tinder dates in my entire life, or 2 online dating dates. And I've gone on a ton of dates with people I've met in person.
Yeah. Did I tell you about the one time I went on a Tinder date? And this is me being shallow and being vulnerable with you guys, but he was shorter than me. Well, no, and like at first I was like, you know what, no, I'm not gonna, like at first I was like, oh, like whatever, I'm not gonna interact with this guy. But then I was like, no, that's shallow, like he's really cool, you guys have like great chemistry over messaging,
and
like,
you're
whatever.
Tall.
I am very tall, yes, with shoes on. I'm 6 foot. Yeah. And the guy was like 5'7", 5'8". And then, like, I was just thinking about, you know, the proverb from the Bible, you know, we're all the same height laying down, right? And I was like, whatever, like, sure, let's hang out. And then, he was a great guy. But, like, when I was hanging out with him, I was like, I'm just not romantically, sexually attracted to this person. And I don't know what it is. It could be his height. I don't know. But he's just one of the girls to me, you know?
Okay, well, that's okay. You don't need to be attracted to everyone.
Yeah, no.
Like, last weekend, I was out with some friends for her birthday, and this guy was, like, interested in me, was hanging out with us, and I just, like, played into it, whatever. Exchanged contact information. He tried to kiss me when I left, tried to come home with me, and I was like, no. And
were you not attracted to him? Was that why? Or
that's just like not something that I do. Like, you're not coming home with me if I don't know you. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, the next morning I woke up and I like started crying at the prospect of like going on a date. And I was like trying to figure out, I was like, am I just like still heartbroken or what? Then I like met another guy literally that night that I was actually interested in. Mm-hmm. And I came to the conclusion that I just wasn't interested in the first guy. So it's just like, you're not.
You know when you know.
Yeah. And like, yeah. I just felt like everyone around me was like trying to force it, because they were like, you know, like give him a chance, like distract yourself, whatever. But I was like, no.
Distract yourself.
Like, yeah, like going on a date with someone else would be like a good distraction.
I know, but like I feel like distractions are just as damaging as sleeping around.
Yeah.
You know?
So I was like, well, if I'm crying at the prospect of going on a date with him, maybe I shouldn't.
Yeah.
Just a thought.
No.
Yeah. But he never messaged me again, so it ended up being fine.
So he was probably just drunk then.
I mean, he like sent me some reels, but then that was it.
What were the reels? Were they like cringy? And
they were like fishing reels.
Men, no one cares that you like to fish.
No.
Anyways, moving on.
Yeah, okay. I don't think any straight man is watching this. But if you are,
nobody cares
that you like to fish. Yeah, moving on.
Unless you can turn one fish into 100 like Jesus did.
That would be cool.
No one cares. That would
be
cool.
I could walk on water.
Okay.
I think we should talk about like I think we should, like, in this first podcast, go back to, like, our sommelier roots a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Like, why did we even start this in the first place?
I think we should talk about, like, crazy customer stories that we've had.
Oh, that's a... Okay. Honestly, most of them stem from people just not believing us because we're really young for being sommeliers in our industry.
I think for you, I don't know why people, like, think I'm older, but I get it a lot. Or, like, they always think I'm the owner.
Well, you have been a business owner in the past, so you already wear that badge pretty well. And
I'll take it.
You know? Yeah.
No, I'm not offended.
Yeah.
But no, I don't. Well, actually, in like the last week, I've had a few like severe mansplainers, and they really, really annoyed me.
Like, that's honestly, 90% of the bullshit that you receive is just mansplaining from an older man.
Yeah, like trigger warning mansplaining.
Yeah.
Like the other weekend, he was like the first customer to come in when I got there, of course. So no one else was there yet. So I just had to sit and listen to him basically preach a podcast about all the different wine knowledge and wine regions and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I just wanted to say, like, dude, I took a class on this. Like, I know. Mm-hmm. But I just had to listen to it and let him demean me for 45 minutes straight. But whatever.
And also, men never realize when they are mansplaining. They just keep talking.
They just never shut up.
I'm sure I'm guilty of it too, because...
No, you're not.
I'm wired a man, you know, like I'm sure I do it occasionally. But I mean, like, it's just funny because sometimes people would be like, oh, well, like, what are your credentials? And I'm like, well, I'm a certified SOM. Yeah,
We're kind of fake
set level 2. But shut up. I've been working on restaurant floors for a very, very long time. And we do the same thing that SOMs fucking do.
I'm also W set level 2 in case anyone tries to come for us.
We cared enough to pay money to take classes.
My boss paid for it.
My ex-boss, her boss.
Yeah, we should probably talk about how we know each other at some point.
Oh yeah. Well, and then people sometimes are like, well, what are your credentials? I'm like, well, first of all, I'm WSET level 2 certified. I've worked a harvest in Napa Valley for 8 weeks with a high-end producer. And I've toured multiple wine regions in the European Union. So, like, I have a little bit more of a grasp on the concept than, say, the average consumer does.
Absolutely.
So, I'm, like...
That's another thing. I get annoyed with customers on the other end, too, that, like, and I'm not, like, mad at them. I just get annoyed that they only know, like, two words to describe wine. They're, like, dry and sweet. They're, like, I don't like it. And they just can't really explain what they want, so I just kind of have to make assumptions. And then they, like, get annoyed when I get it wrong. And I'm, like, okay, well, you're going to have to gain more words. Also, PSA, all dry means is the absence of sweet. It just means not sweet. It doesn't mean acidic. It doesn't mean whatever. So minerally, any of those things. So that's my rant.
So are you Karens out there? Sauvignon Blanc is a dry wine.
Period.
It's dry, but acidic. So if you don't want Sauvignon Blanc, you say, I want a dry white wine that has less acidity. And we won't pour you Sauvignon Blanc.
Yes.
That's all you have to say.
And Sauvignon Blanc is always dry. I have yet to come across a sweet version.
Unless you get like Sauternes.
Oh yeah.
That's like Semillon Sauvignon Blanc blend. That's a dessert wine. Like,
yeah.
Sweet. I mean, people just assume that you're talking about Moscato.
Yes.
But like there's even within the sweet realm, there's so many other categories before you even reach Moscato sweetness.
Sweet.
Like, I'm telling you, like, sexuality is a spectrum. Wine and sweetness levels, dryness levels is a fucking spectrum.
For sure.
Yeah. Like, and plus, most red wines have a little bit of residual sugar in them.
Yes.
Some sweetness. But you just can't tell because everything else in the wine, the alcohol, the acidity, the tannins, covers the sweetness that you're tasting. Right?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know. I just think I do suck a little bit because, like, as soon as I gain like a morsel of knowledge about wine, now I just get like annoyed at everyone that doesn't know anything, which isn't really fair because but like a also, few years ago I was the same.
Yeah.
But I was never like, I always like had wines that I like knew that I liked and then I would just order that. Mm-hmm. I wasn't like pretend. I guess this is what bugs me when people like pretend that they know what they're talking about, but like you can just tell that they know nothing.
Yeah. Well, and plus for me, I mean, I try to the best of my ability to not come off as pretentious. It's literally my worst fear is to make somebody feel uncomfortable with the amount of knowledge that I have. And,
worst fear.
No, truly, because like, because I've felt it before, even when I was just starting out in the industry, going into wine bars and like trying to ask people, like, this is what I like, and these are some of the terms that I know, and I know I like this and I don't like this, but like, help me out here.
Yeah.
And like, even then, the more questions that you ask, sometimes people that don't know what they're talking about that are serving you get, you know, nervous and like can't comprehend what you're saying because they don't know themselves. And it's just a really, really funky thing to work around. I don't know. And then as a server now, I'm just saying, okay, well, what do you like to drink? Because if you give me one glass of wine that you love to drink, I'm sure I could find two or three on the list that are slightly different. They're not going to taste the same, but they're in the same realm of what you drink normally.
That's a good strategy.
And like, with that, you don't have to say all the crazy, like, sommelier, you know,
terminology.
You can just say, this is going to drink, like, what you like to drink, and I think you'll like it.
Yes.
It might taste a little funky. It might taste a little bit more fruity. It might taste a little bit more oaky than what you're used to, but it's still.
Yes, I agree.
You know, palatable.
I mean, yes. And ultimately, most customers, I would say, 70% that walk in the door, their goal is to get drunk. So they're going to be happy with whatever you put in their glass.
Yeah. Well, no. And then people, one day somebody asked me, they were just like, do you like the taste of wine? And I was like, yeah. I mean, like I've literally dedicated a very large portion of my life to
wine,
tasting it and like figuring out why I like this beverage. So yeah, I do. And they were like, well, would you drink it if it didn't get you drunk? And I was like,
probably not.
That's a really good, that's a really, really facet. Because, you know, non-alcoholic wine is now like up and coming.
And I'm passionately against NA wine.
But NA wine tastes worse than regular wine.
It doesn't taste the same.
So like, even if I was, you know, if I didn't want to drink, I wouldn't be drinking NA wine because it tastes like garbage.
Well, yeah, because the alcohol plays a role in the flavor. So when you remove it, it does.
Like, yeah, it does. But like NA beer, NA beer kind of still tastes like beer.
Yeah, for some reason, NA wine, like every NA wine I've tried has been so bad.
Maybe we just haven't figured it out yet, but I
don't know. I don't believe in it. It's just like, just drink grape juice.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, I will say, though, that, like, when people order NA wine at my work, it's usually because they're trying to conceal a pregnancy. Mm. And so that's valid. And so we have it.
But then I've also, one of my new friends that I made at my new job, she said that when she was in her third trimester, apparently in your third trimester, you can, like, have a little bit of alcohol.
Yeah, it all depends on who you ask. I don't care.
I don't know. But she was saying, like, yeah, like, I would usually do like a glass and a half, maybe, like, you know, with my dinner.
I've served fully pregnant people because you're not allowed to deny them.
That's crazy.
Yeah, you're not. It's illegal. It's gender discrimination.
I mean, hey, you're fair. But damn.
Like,
I mean, like, if they're like clearly in their third trimester, I guess, like, rule of thumb, you can drink a little bit when you're in your third trimester because your baby's mostly developed.
It's just not my business. Like, if they order it, I have to give it to them.
That's true, too.
Not my responsibility.
I mean, hey, like, that's metal as fuck, though. To be just, like, fully pregnant, like, just drinking.
Yeah, she did not give a fuck.
Hey, good for her. I mean, like, when I think about it, I'm just like, maybe my mom drank when she was pregnant with me. And I turned out fine.
Well, I know my grandparents definitely drank when they were pregnant with my parents.
Do you think that plays a role in, like, the genetics of being more predisposed to being an alcoholic?
Probably not the drinking while pregnant. Probably just, like, the alcoholism just general.
Oh, okay. Okay. It runs in my family.
But they say... Yeah, me too. But they say that, like, you were fully formed, or the egg that made you was in your grandmother while she was pregnant with your mom. Think about that.
Wait, what? How?
Because, okay, so, like, when a woman is born, she's born with, like,
all the eggs
already. And so they were formed, like, in your grandmother's womb, right?
Yeah.
When she was pregnant. So, like, the egg that made you was being cooked while your grandma was pregnant with you. Isn't that, like, crazy to process?
Wait, so, like, grandmother's physical eggs went from ovaries into the egg?
No.
Oh, no. Oh, wait. So the embryo was developing eggs as it was developing
itself.
Yes,
as it was developing.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
So, like, those healthy or unhealthy choices that your grandma made could have potentially affected you.
Wow.
Or her trauma. Or whatever. There's, like, a whole study behind it. I don't know enough to talk about this, but...
Fascinating. Well, we know enough. We know the fact that it just is a thing.
Yeah.
At least. So it's fun to bring up. I love, oh my God, my favorite area on YouTube, Ted Ed. Do you watch Ted Ed?
I have watched Ted Eds.
I love Ted Eds. No, they're just like 5-minute little like education videos about literally anything and everything. Like I learned what a Ponzi scheme was the other day.
What's a Ponzi scheme?
So a Ponzi scheme is really, really similar to a pyramid scheme. But in a Ponzi scheme, when you're getting and collecting all the funds from people, you're paying out people that have paid you in the past. So it looks like your funds are moving because other people are getting paid. But when they're getting paid, that means that other people are paying you to be a part of your scheme. But a pyramid scheme is everyone just pays the top of the pyramid and they just like work to get to they're working towards, you know, that 6-figure income that it promised, you know, and then ultimately in the end, the top of the pyramid ends with most of the funds and then it just like dies out.
Have you ever been involved in a pyramid scheme?
No.
Have you? I have.
What were you selling?
Cutco knives. So I honestly think that that is the most valid, like MLM pyramid scheme out there though.
Wait, is it still a thing though?
Yeah. Like the,
well, that's okay. Yeah. That's MLM.
Yes.
So like pyramid schemes look like MLMs.
Okay,
but
so
like
they're
pyramid
different.
Schemes are like actual schemes that like go nowhere.
Okay. Yeah, because like you can make money in Cutco. Like the reason I got involved in it is because my best friend was doing it and she killed it. Like she made a lot of money.
Okay.
So yeah.
That's an MLM then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The barrier to entry with Cutco is only like $40 to buy a set. Like It's not super scammy compared to the other ones.
Yeah, usually pyramid schemes are like, you have to put in $1,000 and this is a once in a lifetime opportunity. Act now or else it'll never come back again. And it probably never will because it's a pyramid scheme and they're going to get got and sued by someone.
I very much enjoyed the LuLaRoe documentary.
LuLaRoe.
That was a pyramid scheme. It was like leggings that were really, really shitty.
Mm-hmm.
And really ugly, and I don't know why anyone was involved in this, but the documentary was tea. Like watching the whole thing crumble, I would totally recommend it.
I love documentaries. You know, I forget what it was called, but it was the one. I think it was on HBO, and it was about Hillsong.
Hillsong United, the church.
Yeah.
Mm.
And how like all the fucked up shit that was going on. Like,
tell me
the
more.
Scenes. Well, so essentially, first of all, it was ran as a corporation. It wasn't ran as a church. It was ran as a corporation. It started in Australia. And, like, all the really, like, big-headed, but all the pastors and all of, like, you know, the main, like, corporate officers that were running the thing, they were just involved in a lot of drama. And it was very much against what it was they were preaching. Like, a lot of the pastors were sleeping around, cheating on their wives. A lot of the corporate officers were involved in, like, I don't know if you can say, like, money laundering, but, like, they were just involved in some, like, really, really shady
But Hillsong still exists.
I know.
Huh.
I know. There's a campus in North Scottsdale, I think.
Hmm. Oceans is a good song.
That's the thing, too.
By Hillsong United.
Hillsong United made a shitload of worship music that is still, like, used and...
Played and enjoyed
and sang in churches to this day. Like
they did make some good music, I'm not gonna lie.
They did make some good music. Well, it's because there was a study behind, like, their formula. Like, they literally had a musical formula to, like you every Hillsong song production is good because they know what chords, they know, like, what, like, tempos to work in, what range that, like, is appealing to most, if not all, ears.
Well, it's what crazy. If we just stole that and then use it to make music for you?
Yeah. I mean, I'm open to the idea. Well, I don't know, because it's the same thing with, I mean, no shade Taylor Swift. We love Taylor Swift here in this room and in this podcast. But she does have a formula. She does have chord progressions that work really well for her. And, you know, some of her most popular songs, some of them have very similar chord progressions across the board.
I don't think Taylor Swift, like, I'm a major Swiftie, but I don't think that the music is, like, necessarily what I'm there for. It's the song lyrics.
Mm.
So I'm like, yeah, like, yes, a lot of the songs sound similar. That's, like, not what I'm there for. It's the lyrics.
Well, but, like, that's the magic of, like, knowing how to write the actual audio.
Yeah.
Is, like, you're not paying attention to it. Like,
yeah.
It's already so good that you don't, like, you have nothing to pay attention to but the lyrics.
You don't perceive what's going on in the background, really.
No.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yes.
Crazy.
Major Swiftie, but...
Major Swiftie, minor Swiftie, I would say.
I went to the Eras Tour 3 times.
Yeah, I haven't been to a single one. It's over, right?
Yes, it's okay. Over. he will never go to one.
No, but, like, I Knew You Were Trouble When You Walked In.
It's a great song.
Great song. I can't think of more right now.
I have so many favorites. I could do, like, a whole episode dissecting Taylor Swift lyrics.
I'm sure you can.
Yeah, we don't need to do that right now.
On the day that I have to call out because I'm under the weather, you can save that day to do your Taylor Swift pod.
I do want to talk about how, though, like, a couple weeks ago, I was out with 2 straight men just partying, and we came back to my house, and I forced them to watch the entire Eras Tour movie because I told them that they needed to learn what it was like to be a woman.
Is that the end-all be-all of what it's like
to be a
woman?
Well, not the end-all be-all, but it certainly helps because some men just need to learn empathy, and I thought it could help.
Wait, so learn what it's like to be a woman...
Like, emotionally.
Emotionally. Okay, I thought you were talking about, like, the perspective of being at an Eras Tour as a woman.
No. Oh, I mean, like, they need to, like, listen to the songs and, like, understand how they make us feel. And you know what? They did watch it. They were good sports.
Okay. Were they enlightened, do you think?
No, because then I had another conversation with one of them after the movie was over, and he pissed me off, and I kicked him out of my apartment. He hadn't learned.
I could probably guess who it is.
I think I already told you about this. It's one of my, I don't think you've ever met him.
Yeah, no, I was at the bar that night.
Oh, yeah. You met him that earlier that night.
Nice guy, though.
Yeah, he's nice, but he needs to learn how to love, I think.
Mm. T.
Don't they all? I want to go back to crazy customer stories for a minute.
Oh, okay.
Because I have 2, like, actual crazy stories.
Oh, what happened?
Well, I have more than 2, but like, these ones are funny. So one time it was, like, really late in the evening. I got a call to the bar that I work at, and this lady was, like, on the other line. I could tell she was, like, hysterically crying, and she's like, "What's the strongest bottle of wine you have?" And I was like, "It's probably port, because port's like 20%. Because I clarified, I was like, "You meant, like, an alcohol content, right?" And she was like, "Yeah." And then she was like, "How much is it?" And I was like, "It's like $25 or whatever." And then she was like, "Well, I only have $5, so can you just make it 5? And I was like, "I'm so sorry. I'm not the owner, but, like, if you go to CVS, you could probably find a bottle of wine for $5 or perhaps a 4 Loko. But anyway, yeah, she was really upset. It was kind of sad. But I really hope she found her $5 bottle of wine somewhere.
She probably went to Circle K. You can get a $5 handle at Circle K.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or maybe she just hopefully just went to bed. I don't know. But then the other one that I thought was funny was one time this lady came in already trashed with, I think, her...
It's the worst.
Her sister and her brother-in-law. I kind of like the drunk customers because they come in happy, they leave happy, they tip you well. And you don't even have to think about it.
It's the only good thing about it.
Yeah. But they are really loud. She comes in, she's hammered, she's ranting and ranting about how she doesn't eat and blah, 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 like stay skinny, whatever. And then, like, she ordered a bread plate because she needed to sober up. And then I make her the bread plate, put it in front of her, and she's like, I didn't order that, I don't eat. And then, like, refused to eat it. So her friends are eating it, whatever. And then later she was screaming about how her husband is ugly, but he has a big dick, so it's okay. Loud enough for the entire bar to hear. Luckily, I think they were the only customers in at the time, so it was just me. And then me and my boss were looking at each other, like, trying so hard not to laugh. So, yeah, the drunk people get crazy sometimes. Do you have any experiences like that? Or am I just a magnet for the crazies?
No, I would say, like, the craziest, like, drunk experiences that I've had with customers. I don't know. Like, men get really bold when they're under the influence. And
a customer grabbed my arm once. Like,
yeah,
a guy.
Don't touch people when you're drunk at a bar. Sorry.
Don't do it. Don't touch the bartenders.
Because that's exactly what I'm about to bring up. Like, I don't know, like... Like, when you're working and, you know, you like, when you're staring at people, the person that you're staring at notices.
Yes.
100% of the time. And there was this one day where there was just this guy just, like, giving eyes, dude, basically for the few hours he was there. And, you know, I'm wiping tables and, you know, I feel a ghostly specter behind me. And, like, not only ghostly, but, like, physically. Like, he was like, oh, like, pardon me, I'm just gonna squeeze through here. Puts both of his arms, like, on my waist as he, like, squeezes by and, like, rubs his package against, like, the back of me.
Ew.
And it's just, like, there was room for you to just walk normally. Like, there...
yeah.
Like, you don't have to, like, play charades. Like, I don't know. It's... Yeah. And then... People have thrown up at bars I've worked at.
Yeah, I've had that too.
There was one time someone, like, diarrhea shat all over in the bathroom and I had to clean it up. It was when I worked at.
Listen. Oh, by the way, we used to work together.
Yeah.
That's how we know each other.
Yeah.
I still work at the place that we met. Jacob has moved on to bigger and better things.
I'm still at a bar, but yeah, sure. If you want to call it that. But, no, I'm sure I have plenty of stories, but I've just kind of blocked them out because
trauma.
Well, not because of trauma, but just because it's just the nature of the industry. And, like, that's just what you're going to come across, right? So,
I also at one
the end
time,
of the day, it doesn't really matter.
I mean, this isn't that crazy, but one time, like, we had this regular that was married. And then one night he, like, wrote his number on like, the receipt for me. And then it was kind of, like, ambiguous. Like, I didn't know if he was, like, flirting or if he was just, like, being friendly, whatever.
He wrote his number down. That's a flirty.
I know.
Right?
I was just, like, in denial because he's married and he literally, like, I've met his wife. And I was like, I don't want to think that people are that icky.
Just because they're married, that doesn't mean anything.
Anyway, I never texted him, obviously, because he's married and I think he's, like, 30 years older than me. And he never came back after that, so...
The older men love us. Foaming at the mouth for some reason. Well, probably because everybody thinks that we're older than we actually are.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I didn't like that receipt phone number writing experience.
I would enjoy that experience if it was with someone who, you know, I had great chemistry with while working and, like, talking with them.
Well,
as I
mean,
you know, but
this has happened a few other times to me too. with like that specific like type of situation where it's like I kind of blow them off and then like they stop coming. And I'm just like, I think that they think I was like flirting with them, but I'm just like literally being friendly. Like I'm just doing nice my job.
Just a nice person. It's never the ones you want, you know?
Well, sometimes it is.
Well, from your perspective, sure. But yeah.
Yeah. So that's a weird part of working in the industry too. Oh, let's just talk about how literally everybody in the service industry has a nicotine addiction to the point where, like, okay, I was out last night with somebody that's a rep. Like, he sells wine to the restaurant, so mm-hmm. we all kind of see him around, like, all the time. But I went to grab drinks with him last night, and he, like, I start vaping. He's like, wait, can I hit that? And I'm like, dude, you are a closeted nicotine addict. I've never seen you vapor anything before. But
he has one, though.
I guess not anymore now. He just zins.
I've hit his before. Oh.
Yeah.
Zins.
Yeah. Whatever. Same thing.
Yeah.
But, like, I just, like, didn't think that at all. And then all of a sudden, yeah. Everybody, I would say 90% of people that work in bars and restaurants.
Yeah. And cocaine.
Cocaine is huge. I don't partake.
I don't either, but I guess I'm happy for y'all that do.
I mean,
but it's huge. It's massive. It's kind of concerning because nobody talks about it either.
Yeah, like I almost hear the like vaping talked about more as like a public health issue than cocaine.
Yeah,
and I'm like, can we reevaluate that maybe?
Yeah, and plus now there's, like, fentanyl and, like, baby powder and shit, whatever, like, in...
Yeah. But it's literally everywhere, like... And, like, also there's certain bars that are, like, known for it. Like, if you want to find cocaine in any, like, major party area, you can find it, yeah. Within, like, 10 minutes, probably. Yeah. So maybe we should address that as a society. Or not.
I don't think... people are ready to.
I don't think anyone's ready to talk about that yet.
They tried addressing it in the 80s and look what happened. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, I have a theory that people do more drugs now than they did in the 80s.
Really?
Or like the same amount.
Why is that?
I think it's just like in a different like context or format. Like people definitely smoke more weed now.
Yes. Yeah.
And then like I think that maybe the older generation, like our parents, is kind of under the illusion that people aren't doing like things like cocaine and like Molly and whatever other party drugs, but they totally are. Like, and it's in like crazy like circles that you wouldn't even imagine. My sister used to work at this really, really high-end hotel in Southern California. I definitely cannot say the name, so just if you're listening, don't try and figure it out. But they used to have these, like, massive parties after, I can't say what these events were because it would give away the hotel, but...
Were they diddy white parties?
No. It's not that deep. But basically there was, like, these regular events in the community that would bring in a very wealthy crowd, and then this hotel
People go crazy.
Yes. And then this hotel was, like, really known for hosting, like, these after parties. And my sister said that they were doing, like, every illicit drug imaginable. And these are the millionaires, the people that are, like, making the world go round. We're having, like, these insane parties, giving drugs to the wait staff, like, whole nine. So anyone thinks that drugs aren't being done literally everywhere, in every socioeconomic status, all the time, you're delusional.
Yeah. Speaking of partying, well, not really, but at my new job, we're allowed to take breaks and go vape. We're allowed to do shots.
I should have taken that job.
We're allowed to do shots.
You're allowed to do shots on the clock?
Yes. So much fun. I've never worked in a bar, like, in any environment like that before.
Well, I have one time, and I figured out during that time that I could not, in fact, drink on like while working, because as soon as I take a shot, I'm like, I'm clocked out.
Well, but, like, it's so
but
fun.
But I could vape.
And plus you're just allowed to go out in the back.
Smoke
just
break.
Whenever.
Yeah.
Like, 30 seconds, and you just hop back on. It's great.
Damn, maybe I should text,
you should text
your
him
boss.
Back. You should text him back.
Maybe I should be like, on second thought?
That day you came in, he was like, hey, she never replied back to me. And I was like, yeah, she did. And then he was like, yeah, but it was like a week later. And I was like, well,
it was like 4 days later.
She still replied back to.
You know
saying
what?
Saying no. At least he said no.
And I was busy because my sister was in town. Yeah. So that's why I didn't reply back, which honestly isn't a good excuse, but that is what happened.
Yeah, no. Moral of the story, I really like it where I work. And maybe you'll see me there, maybe you won't. You just have to figure it out.
Well, I got offered a job there and I turned it down for some reason that I don't really know why right now.
Sage, like, in the last 3 days, I made $800.
And you can drink and smoke while
drink
working.
Drink and smoke while working, yes.
Damn, I'm really regretting my life choices
no,
right
like,
now.
No, like, sometimes the chef would come out of the back kitchen and be like, hey, let's get shots, everybody. And then the bartenders would just make 14 fucking shots of whatever. And we would all just take it together. Maybe it was because it was, like, a soft open and, like, they're feeling relaxed. But, like, no, like, if drinks, like, were messed up, they were just, like, put in the well and everybody would just sip on it throughout the night. Yeah.
Well, like, my current job, we are, like, strictly not allowed to drink on the clock because of insurance, which is fair. I'm not, like, debating that. Mm-hmm. But.
But then why are we allowed to do it then? Do they not have
they
insurance?
They probably just, like, don't give a shit. Mm. Like, they just trust that you guys aren't going to sue. Or just don't care. Anyway, I think we have to wrap up. But might have a new job by next week. I'm just kidding.
I was like, where?
Oh, I wonder where.
Damn. Well, that bye.
Bye. Well, damn.